The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You're listening to me.
And me.
And her.
But do you remember when we did that years ago?
Yeah, yeah.
No, we don't anymore, do we?
We don't do that anymore,
no,
do we?
No, we should do that. It's funny.
Right. So what I... okay. Cool. Good.
You know, you were trying to find that tweet from Sevenoaks.
Mm.
I found it here. Sevenoaks Sport. It says, Vanilla Web, hi, Paul. Please could you let our listeners know that the November issue of Sevenoaks Sports magazine is out throughout the Sevenoaks district. Also, our editor, Steve Rowley, and Georgina Burnett are walking a litter-picking marathon for BBCCIN, so BBC Children's in Need.
Oh, fantastic.
Next Friday.
That's really cool. The Sevenoaks Sports magazine, I really love it. I came across it. I first met them at the Sevenoaks Business Show that they have at the Stag Theatre every year.
You love that business show, don't you?
I do, yeah. It's a small, you know, out of all the business shows I go to, it's probably the smallest one I go to. But it's really lovely. I go to it every year, and it's really fascinating, and I always meet someone new there. And I met the guys, this is Steve, isn't it, from the sports magazine.
Steve Rowley.
Yeah, and I just thought, what a great idea. They cover every sport that they can. They do a results service. They talk, you know, because I don't know if you know, I mean, years ago, I used to run a football club. And back then, local football was a doddle. There were thousands of teams. And the big problem was trying to, you know, get players away from other teams. I was mortified. I was doing a TV program as a guest a few months ago. And an item came on the news about Maidstone Football League and the fact they were down to six teams.
Mm.
What? There were eight divisions when I played, yeah. And then, blow me down, they showed some pictures from the past. And guess what? It wasn't it wasn't actually me, but it was my team. It was the team I played for.
Really?
Yeah, and they showed it. And I just thought, wow, that's just, you know, such a shame.
Mm.
And I suppose nowadays there's so many other things you can do. There's, even sports, you know, the range of, so I've got I know people that play roller hockey and all kinds of stuff. So the range of things you can do is much bigger. But one of the things I liked about the Sevenoaks Sports News is that it was pulling it all together again. You know, you could find out all these sports going on in the local area. You could find out all the clubs. You could see the results. You could see the pictures. Because once upon a time, local papers actually survived on that. Pictures of people scoring goals and hitting runs and all the rest of it is why everybody bought the paper once a week. So, you know, their little Johnny or Jill or whoever it was in the paper.
I love
it. Yeah, no, it's good. Cool.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet from Justin Dean of Creative Motion. And he says, could we have a shout-out, please? We've got a bit of a competition. If you shout out our name on Twitter or recommend us, you can win an award-winning sparkling wine from Biddenden Vine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's Biddenden Vineyards, and that's Creative Motion. And you can see all about it or read all about it on their blog, creativemotion.co.uk/blog/shout-out.
Amazing.
Yeah, so do that.
Booking it open for the next Kent Business Summit, and that's on the 11th of January 2019. I get excited when we hear these new dates now. And this is Kent Business School Uni of Kent, Canterbury, and they're bringing public and private sectors together with startups and entrepreneurs to discuss how to sustain economic growth for the county. The details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. I should have said it, shouldn't I?
www.
There we go. We went last year. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing some great things at the uni.
Mm.
I'm loving it. I like the little sound bites they do.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really interesting. So go along and have a look because it's the place to be for business, I think.
Absolutely. Well, they ran the first summit last January.
Mm.
And it was a real success. There was about 250 people there.
Yeah, yeah.
They've kind of upped the format a bit this year. And in the morning, they've got lots of keynote speakers, and then in the second session it breaks up into workshops and round tables discussing different things. I'm actually chairing the skills stop rolling
here
your
he
eyes
goes.
I'm chairing the skills
it's
round
just
table
you're here, Roderick, and he's just showing off now. Go on.
Oh, I've forgotten what I'm doing now. I'm chairing the skills roundtable, and it's looking at diversity, equality, and the hiring of people with supported needs. So we're talking about all those kind of issues.
So important.
Yeah. But there's loads of other roundtables going on at the same time. Do come along to it. It's a fantastic event. It's happening in January. KentBusinessRadio.co.uk/KBS kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. You can find out all about it and find the link to book your tickets. Good. Talking about Canterbury.
Go on.
If you have a business in Canterbury, Whitstable, Herne Bay, Margate, Ramsgate, Broadstairs, or anywhere around the Isle of Thanet or East Kent, you can apply now for the free Canterbury Business Awards 2019. There's loads of categories. What?
Can I?
No, you're in the Ashford South Kent one.
I'm never anywhere.
Yeah, you are.
I can never apply
for
anything.
Yeah, you are. You're in Hive. That comes under South Kent.
All right. Go on.
Anyway, you don't want a local award. You're global.
I am.
Yeah.
I've been saying about this for years.
Exactly.
Excellent. Carry on.
Anyway, if you want to enter your business for one of the 12 categories of awards, please do so. This will be the third running of the business awards, which I chair, just to annoy you. And each year it's got bigger and bigger and bigger with some fantastic businesses. So do please enter. businessawardskent.co.uk/Canterbury Business Awards is where you need to go. You can find out all the criteria and you can enter. The awards presentation will take place in March 2019 at Broome Park.
Nice. Mm. I think we should mention this now. Mm. Let's get it out the way. This is it. Are you ready?
Yep.
Prepare yourself. Hold on to your breeches. Our next Slowpaw Friday is to a traditional Christmas lunch, the fabulous Emp Room in Ramsgate.
The Empire Room.
Yeah. And this is Friday the 7th of December at 2 p.m. And this is, can you please DM Jules, so at Jules Sirkin, to find out what is going on. So that's Slowpaw Friday.
She's currently in Africa.
Is she? All the best people are.
Absolutely. No, she's in South Africa at the moment with Gavin.
Yep, doing what?
Gavin runs his own business called Frontier Funds, in which he looks at emerging markets. He wrote a best-selling book about emerging markets a year or so ago, and he does a lot of conferences and TV work around Africa, because a lot of the emerging markets he's talking about are indeed in Africa. And they're on a tour of the TV studios of Southern Africa at the moment.
Wow.
Hmm.
Nice.
Cool.
Oh, I've got to be careful how I say this, because I actually want to say what's on the paper, but I'm not allowed to.
Don't go there.
But why did you give it to me then? Because it's...
For exactly that reason.
I've looked at it and thought, oh, good Lord. So may... Well, here we go. I'm so sorry, Roderick, if I do say it. It's not meant to come out.
No, don't say it.
It's Something Special Nights Medway Volume 2, and it begins with an F.
Yeah.
Say no. And it's Failure Nights for the radio.
Yeah, Failure Nights. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that. 16th of November at 7 p.m. After the great success of Volume 1, Volume 2 will be even bigger and better. We have another four great speakers, all willing to share their business failure experiences. That's Tony Burke of Chips and Dunks. That's Tom Lawrence of Arts Parks. That's Andrea Barker of Andrea Barker Confidence Coach, and Sean Murphy of Storm Chasers Digital. Combined with more live bands, gourmet hot dog snacks, drinks all included for another great night. We also have sponsorship opportunity available. So you need to go to
www.dragoncoworking.co.uk.
It's a very funny evening.
It's brilliant. I went to the first one. It was absolutely fantastic. It really was cool. It was superb. And it's just basically people telling you about their failures.
Thank God you said that. Then I'm like, he's going to let it go.
No. The concept is an American concept. It's a kind of franchise, insofar as you can franchise anything like that. I think the marketing leaves a bit to be desired, you know, because it's not the kind of thing you can put out in public, really. So Failure Night works better. But the event itself was brilliant, and I went to the last one, and it was really cool.
It's very on trend at the minute to have this word in books and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I was talking to Penny Parobi about it, because she was going to say about, put this as our title. And then she went, Sarah, I just can't go along with that. I just can't associate with it. So I would agree.
Yeah, cool. We're going to talk to another guest shortly, but I've just got a couple of things I want to bring to your attention. Young Enterprise, the Young Enterprise company in schools, they look to provide a business mentor to a school team who will set up a real company and really trade for a year. And then at the end of the year, they come together in a competition that is regionally based, then county based, then country regional based, then national, then international. Last year, a team from South Kent, which is my region, I chair the judges in the southeast for Young Enterprise, got all the way to the national final. A team from Highworth Grammar School here in Ashford. But Young Enterprise are looking for business advisors and supporters to help in the Ashford and South Kent region. If you'd like to know more, if you email the organiser, who's Trudy Hartridge, and her email address is trudy.hartridge@y-e.org.uk. That's trudy.hartridge@y-e.org.uk. So basically, the role of the mentor is to help the students set up the business, run the business, and get it off the ground. And just to give them general advice, it is a real company. It's registered at Companies House. It deals with real money, and it is a fantastic scheme. It's loads of fun. The students think up all kinds of fantastic companies. They make loads of money, but there's not enough schools that enter either. If you run a local school, please enter. It costs hardly anything to enter, and the skills that your young people gain in doing this are immense. They are really immense, and it's a lot of fun. So please do get involved.
We've really upset Butterfly Events. It says, "You two drive me crazy."
Sorry.
sorry, I said I'm sorry. Vanilla Web and a Bard and a Bike. B Bunker, your geography is shocking. Base Point North is in Northfleet Gravesend. Thank you very much. So it's just off the A2 at Pepper Hill.
Thank you. So it's not in Dartford at all. It's in Gravesend.
It's at Gravesend, apparently. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Butterflies Events.
And now you know where you're going, at least.
I was never worried. You know me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've taught me well. And then you didn't even ask me what I'm speaking about.
Make someone's Christmas extra special with a weekend of world-class piano tuition, luxury accommodation and delectable food and drink. This is taking place at Finchcox in Guildhurst. Finchcox is the most gorgeous house, owned by Neil. I was lucky enough to visit Neil and Finchcox during the summer. Neil recently purchased Finchcox. Until he had purchased it, it was a piano museum. He's restored it as his own personal house, but in the cellar, he's built a piano school. And when I say cellar, that doesn't really do it justice. It's a vaulted cavern, is what it is. And there are 8 grand pianos in the cellar, each in their own practice area. And then he's converted the stables into accommodation. It's absolutely fabulous. Even if you hate pianos, it's worth going there just to have a look. But they do piano recitals there. The last thing they had was a Chopin evening, but they're also doing piano schools, and the schools can be for complete novices all the way up to concert pianists. If you want to find out more, email bookings@finchcox.com or go to their website, which is finchcox.com.
I'm going to do that for Louis, because that's amazing.
It's brilliant. Just visiting the place, it's just awesome. It is fantastic.
Well, I've got something to tell you. You want to come to my house.
Do I?
Yes, you do. Believe this. We got a piano for Louis, and it's a long story behind this piano. We get it in the house. You know, we're calling back removals. They were amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Who we Simon, had on. Yeah. Exactly. Simon's amazing. Get this piano. Get a tuner to come in, which isn't easy to try and find a piano tuner now and blah, blah, blah. So this story's gone on for months and months. He walks into the house and he went, "Oh my God, that's a museum piece." It works out that the piano that we bought is only an 1831 piano.
Wow.
I know, right?
Where'd you get it from then?
Well, there's a story behind that.
No.
That wasn't really... Why are you going deep into my dodginess at the minute?
Who knows?
So anyway, this piano is 1831. And the piano tuner's had to come 3 times, and he was there with Louis this morning. And Louis's learning how to... My 17-year-old, just an amazing, amazing musician. And he said it was just remarkable. There's no metal in it at all. So you know we've got this... The pitch now is... I think it's concert pitch and blah, blah, blah. This piano can't be tuned to now today's tunage. So a middle C, you can't tune it to that. So when you said Chopin, they would have played on this piano.
Right. Okay.
How amazing.
Yeah. Like it.
I know. So it's just wonderful hearing about Finchcox.
Absolutely. It's worth a visit. Go visit if you can. Fantastic.
Or my house.
Or Bert's house, because she's got an even older piano.
I've got a museum piece.
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you know what? We're going to talk to our next guest now.
Let's do it.
We are indeed. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, also for the first time, onto the show, Mr. Adam Bissell of Traverse Flooring.
Thank you very much, Paul. And thank you to you, Birdie, as well, for making me feel
No, you don't need to thank her. She's sure.
Well, yeah. I was speaking to Birdie just before the show, and she is looking for a new floor in her kitchen.
Nice bit of sales pitch in there, Adam.
First Flooring UK might be able to help her out.
Yes.
On a serious note, it's lovely to be here. And, it's my first time on radio, and this morning I didn't think that I'd be sitting here with my Cyberman hat on next to the Mayor of Sevenoaks on one side and, in fact, Judy Flam, who is my wife, on the other. So
you didn't know she was coming, did you?
No.
She just rocked up here. Yeah, exactly.
It's great to be here, and I sort of feel like we're in that situation where now I'm about to do my French GCSE oral exam, and you're sitting there all relaxed, and I'm sitting here absolutely petrified. And just for the record, for those who've never been in a studio like this, they do have one of those red on-air signs up there now, and which is quite intimidating. But
there's no one listening.
There's no one listening.
No, there's no one listening.
It's your viewing figures, which are very high. But anyway, thank you for welcoming me.
It's an absolute pleasure, Adam. Thank you for coming along. Why don't you kick off by telling us a bit about Traverse Flooring, how long you've been going, what inspired you to start it, and in fact what it is, because I did a big missed sales job on you earlier, didn't I? I was talking to Bird in the studio, and I was saying about, she asked who the guests were today, and I started telling her, and I got it completely wrong, so...
Well, don't worry about that. I'm just rather sad that we're going to be perhaps talking about a topic that's been less exciting than some of the things that we've been talking about in the last half an hour.
We can make anything exciting here, don't you worry.
Lovely. Well, thank you. We are a business that came into existence in planning terms about 18 months ago.
Right.
And we've been trading for the last 6 months.
Okay.
So we're Traverse Flooring UK, and we are suppliers of high quality and design-led LVT products.
LVT.
Ah, yes, LVT.
Luncheon voucher? No.
Yeah, almost get it then. So it's luxury vinyl tile.
Okay.
So again, perhaps it needs a little bit of explanation. Mm. I mean, I suppose, you know, you meet all sorts of people in the world, and some know their flooring, and the vast majority of people out there in the world, they don't give it a second thought.
Yep.
And I suppose I was one of those people till quite recently. There are so many choices of what you can have on your floor, and we just... sort of cater to one specific part of the market. So vinyl, I suppose people think about their bathrooms, one big long sheet of vinyl that goes down and is glued around the edges. But we make vinyl tiles, or you might say they're planks, or they look like planks, so they're almost indistinguishable from wood. So
it's really funny, because Adam walked in here with a sample.
I did.
And I went, I've got that on my kitchen floor. And I have. They're long strips, on my kitchen floor anyway. They're long strips, some of them quite, you know, like 15 feet long and about inches wide.
And then the irony is not lost on me that I've brought samples along to a radio show. But I did think it might be fun for
Julie's on it. She's on it. She's tweeting as you talk.
Yeah. Taking photos of it.
Yeah.
But I suppose, again, when you don't know much about these sorts of products, a lot of people, when they look at them, they're quite amazed about how thin they are.
Yep.
So you think about real wood flooring, you're thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be a couple of inches is thick, but it's not, doesn't work like that.
No.
So this is a much thinner product that goes on top of a prepared floor.
Yeah.
Does it have to be concrete?
Doesn't have to be concrete. There are various types of subfloor that come down. It depends on what's underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
But our business is not so much in the installation side. It's more in the supplying. So
got it.
We supply business to business, B2B. And we are, I suppose, predominantly a volume sales business. So we will talk to designers and architects, the construction industry, various flooring outlets.
That's exactly how I got mine. I had an extension built, and the people who built the extension went, we're going to put you some really nice flooring down. And I went, well, great, okay. And that's what they put down. And it is really nice.
Did you choose it?
No.
You had no choice in your flooring?
No, I had no choice in anything. The designer did it.
Excellent.
She went, you've got no taste at all, Paul. Leave it to me.
Well, there's lots of choice out there, and whoever makes the decision on the flooring is...
It was Beth. It was Beth did mine. Beth the designer. And she was really brilliant, yeah.
Fantastic.
But you're right, though, Adam. As, you know, when you talk about vinyl flooring, people have got that old view of what that is. You know, that it comes on a roll, like lino, really, but a bit more modern.
Yeah, and things have moved on a lot since then. And you think about consumer trends as well. What are people buying? Is carpet less popular now? Are people going for LVT? And the answer is yes. So in the last six, seven, eight years, people have started to see that there are more exciting products out there. Mm. And I suppose trends are shifting.
Yeah, of course.
So, yes, you definitely know that the carpet world has been squeezed by LVT.
Do you find that LVT is used primarily in kitchens and bathrooms still, or, you know, does it have applications right around the house or indeed a commercial place?
Yes. Yeah. So, for example, the products that we sell, they would go into commercial or residential settings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that could be in a coffee chain on the high street.
Yeah.
It could be student accommodation. Mm. It could be offices. So there's a wide variety of places. I mean, like I said, if you want carpet in your special living room, then, of course, you know, there is a different feel to it. So, you know, every house is different.
Yeah, of course.
Lovely, beautiful wooden floor down. Why would you necessarily want to put something on top of that?
Mm. I mean, as far as I'm concerned with the flooring that I've got, it looks really cool. It looks really good, but it's easy to maintain. And in a kitchen especially, or a commercial space, that's really important, you know, because people are always chucking coffee about and stuff like that. So to be able to, you know, clean up, if you've got carpets, it's a pain, isn't it? Because
everyone's used a rug doctor, haven't they, at some point?
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Had to empty the cylinder. And, yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't promote carpet over LVT per se, but it's the right place for the right product. Mm. But, no, I think there is something about cleanliness aspect and the ease of maintaining a type of floor like that, where you just run a hot mop over it and, you know, someone could give birth on it and still, you know, you could wipe it down the next day. Is that too much?
Too much information there, I think.
Yeah, pulled under the table. My wife's looking ashamed of me. There are seven oaks, and that's the end of my dinner party invitation. So, you know, they're easy. If you put them into student halls of residence, places like that, they work incredibly well. Educational centres as well, schools, absolutely very easy.
And, as you were saying, they come in strips rather than rolls as well.
That's right. I'll just pull out a plank so you can have a good look.
Oh, thank you. as you would.
So there we go.
Right.
And as you can see, it's a very, very thin.
It's very thin, listener. And it's probably, 10 inches wide. I can't really see.
Very on-trend colour.
It's kind of blue and grey.
I've tweeted it.
Jilly's tweeted a picture out. And what is it, about 4 foot? Long.
This is 1.4 meter
right
by about 9 inches, so just mix the measurements up there.
I quite often go into a shop and go, can I have something 1.4 meters by 9 inches, please?
Yeah, but that's what there's traverse for in UK. That's what we want to do.
I like diversity. I like a bit of diversity in my shopping. Absolutely.
But yes, I mean, as you say about flooring, you know, there are people out there. One of my business partners, for example, when we walk around, the first thing he does is he'll go into Clackett Lane Services and he'll start looking at the floor.
Yeah.
And you meet people who get very interested in this subject. Now, some people go, well, that's just crazy. Mm. How can you be that interested? But there is a big secret club of people out there who absolutely
floor fetishists.
Well, if you want to know where it really happens on a global scale, you should go to Hanover in the third week of January.
Right, okay.
Which is my first baptism of fire in the flooring world. And I have to say, I was blown away. It's not somewhere you'd take your wife for a romantic weekend, but it
you
is
did,
the home. I did take you with me.
But you took her anyway.
It's a flooring show.
Yeah. But it was brilliant. It was like 20 aircraft hangars, all connected.
Right.
The whole world meets here just to look at flooring, carpets, rugs, and there are rugs there from that would go in a palace in Dubai or somewhere like that, and absolutely phenomenal.
I've just bought carpet recently, and I was talking to Remland Carpets, who have been brilliant, and folks, you've got to go and see them. And I was saying to them, who's dictating the marketplace with trends? Is it So for you at the minute, where are you finding the trends of your LVT? What is actually the colours? Because obviously we've got greys, we've got champagnes, and they're the big colours at the minute. And I'm saying to them, well, okay, who's setting these trends for us to go grey and...
Me and you. They go, Paul's got a grey one and Bird's got a champagne one.
I find it fascinating in business because actually, if they said, you know, years ago we used to have the reds and the paisleys and all this jazz and now we've got greys. yeah. and white. What are you seeing in the LVT world? I sound like I'm talking about something really wrong.
You've got it. You absolutely know your flooring. So I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
Yes, it's the whites yeah. and the greys are very in at the moment.
But who's setting these trends? Well, where is that coming from?
Ultimately, it will come from the demand from the consumer yeah. because the manufacturers will want to always change. It's a bit like high fashion, I imagine, with clothing. So, you know, they'll be looking for what people are demanding and the manufacturers will be reacting to the demand.
Interesting.
It's funny, isn't it? A bit off topic, but not quite. I was having an argument online with someone yesterday evening, as I do, and talking about housing. And I was making the point that housing prices suddenly boomed in the UK from 1971 onwards. And a lot of that was to do with Anthony Barber, who was the Chancellor at the time. He introduced a budget that ended up causing massive inflation, but that drove house prices up and they jumped 42%. Anyway, just to prove my point, I went and Googled some stuff and I found loads of houses in the 70s. And what struck me was the wallpaper and carpet.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. All of it conflicted. It was all zigzaggies and paisleys. And you had carpet that was orange and pink and flock wallpaper that was green and blue. Who thought of all this? But every picture I looked at from the 70s had a very similar pattern. So it was obviously on trend at the time.
Exactly, there's a trend. But I actually think it goes deeper than just what the marketplace, because I think the marketplace are being dictated by something else.
Yeah, can I sort of chip in here? Please do. I mean, we see it in fashion, don't we, that actually it's the design houses that are dictating what people then buy. And they all sort of, I won't say collude, but collaborate, say, okay, it's going to be gold this season and then everything's out there. I think it's a bit of some and some. I think kind of the designers, particularly in things like homewares and furnishings and flooring, look at what's going on in architecture. So say, you know, people are going to co-working spaces, they're going into former industrial spaces and then starting to kind of hit into that. And actually, I've been really interested in talking to interior designers when we take some of the ranges that look like burnished copper or that look like, you know, bohemian stripped wood. Suddenly that's kind of tapping in. So, you know, they're kind of one step ahead of the game in design to tap into the trends in architecture.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And talking about trade shows, you know, if you go to the Ideal Home Exhibition or any of those shows where the designers actually show you stuff, they'll show you a limited range of stuff that they're promoting this year. So the designers that go along go, oh, that looks nice. Like, you know, my client will like that. And I think that's how you end up with the trend. As I say, I mean, I'm really pleased with mine, and it's almost identical to the thing that you bought in, Adam. So
thank you. Yes, well, like I said, we have a few samples here, and it's been good. I did feel like a salesman again when I got in the car, but my car sometimes has sample planks in the back,
right?
And I'm loading them in with the shop. But that's part of when you start up a new business. The sorts of things you've got to do.
So. Absolutely. So if people want to find out more about what you do and to look at any of your samples, what's the best way of doing that? Your website, I guess?
Well, I think the easiest thing is to go to our website, which is traverseflooringuk.co.uk. We also have a Twitter presence as well. And we also are on Instagram. So you can see that's a really good medium we've found. And we've acquired followers pretty quickly.
Okay. And what's your address on Instagram?
Instagram, if you put in Traverse Flooring and put Green Floor, who are the manufacturers of the product.
That's FLOR, isn't it?
That's right. That's 1-0. Well reminded me. Thank you there. I appreciate that. And yes, you'll be able to see us both on Twitter and Instagram.
Fantastic.
But you can contact us through our website. And we're brilliant. Always there to listen to people.
And if you didn't write that down, if you go to Kent Business Radio website, it's on the homepage there and it'll stay there as well. So there'll be a link to Adam's website. Adam, for the moment, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
A really interesting. And I do love the product because I've got it on my kitchen floor. So there you go. And you should have bought that instead of carpets, bud. Did you put the carpets anyway?
Hold on a minute. They're going on my stairs. I can't have that on my stairs, can I? I've got a townhouse.
Can't you have it on the stairs?
Can you have that on stairs? Can you have LVT on stairs?
I have seen it on stairs, yes.
Yeah. Then yes.
There you go.
I'm going to have it in my kitchen.
I've seen it on walls as well, Bert.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
So we had one architect who wanted to put the floor tiles on the ceiling.
I love that idea. I tell you what, I like putting doors on walls.
Doors on walls?
Yep, and that's not easy.
Where would you normally put a door then?
Well, it's a bit of art.
In the floor.
You know what I mean? It's a bit of art, isn't it? putting doors on walls.
Oh, I see, just hang the door that does, so it doesn't open and go through anywhere.
No, and these colours that they've brought in, are those on trend, so they're blues and they're... Why are you looking at me laughing?
No, nothing.
You're just away with it, aren't you?
Yeah.
What I can... Before we say goodbye to Adam, Adam, you say it's a new business. What are you finding is your biggest learning that you've just literally been thrown into for the last 6 months?
Well, that's a great question. I suppose what lots of small businesses face is keeping a very close watch on cash flow.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is that the crucial. One that really, really we crucial. Have to watch out for.
It's funny. You're absolutely right. The vast majority of businesses that don't survive, it isn't anything to do with customers or not having it. It's about not managing their cash flow. Yeah. So you're absolutely right.
Not to say, listeners, that we're in trouble.
No, of course not.
I'd get that one out there.
Yeah, no, of course not. No,
but on a serious note,
startup businesses especially, and I'm saying this, I don't expect anybody else to join in. The banks are absolutely useless at helping small businesses. They're not remotely interested. So cash flow is really crucially important. Adam, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure. Adam, Traverse Flooring, UK. Thank you. We can do... Quickly, very quickly, because we're fast running out of time and I want to talk to Julie as well. So we'll do a couple of things and then we'll talk to Julie.
Women in Business Lunch, Thursday, the 6th of December, 2018, Eastwell Manor, Ashford, 11.
We've done that three times.
No, we haven't.
Yes, we have. No, I read it, you read
FSB.
It.
That was the FSB one. This isn't the FSB one. This
oh, no,
is women
sorry.
In business.
I beg your pardon. It's a different one.
So this is Women in Business, and I know that because the other one's on a Tuesday and I've got Business Bunker, so I can't do it.
Right,
this is Thursday, the 6th of December, and this is chaired by Emma Lydiard, MD of Global Radio Kent, and this is at Eastwell Manor. So you've got them on the 4th at Eastwell Manor, and you've got them on the 6th at Eastwell Manor. Loads of women in business at Eastwell Manor.
I don't know where they find all these women in business myself.
Neither do I. And this is at
www.kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Go along. It's always a great luncheon.
I had a tweet from Sooks.
Who?
Sooks.
How do you spell that?
S-O-O-K-S, but her Twitter handle is Brewer's Cottage. And she says, Business Bunker, we'd love to hear you mention Community Payback. And their Twitter handle is at K-S-S-C-R-C, K-S-S-C-R-C. Please give them a mention. The great work carried out by their service users for the benefit of their local communities. It's Community Payback. That's all I know about it. So why don't you follow Brewer's Cottage and K-S-S-C-R-C and find out all about Community Payback.
Thank you. Marsh Networking, Over Coffee, 7th of November, 10 o'clock. This is at New Romney. It's at Sink Ports Arms. And that's Marsh Networking Over Breakfast is on the 29th of November. And that's at the Ship at Dimchurch. And then the Marsh Networking Over Coffee again is on the 5th of December at 10. And that's at Sink Port Arms. As you can see, there's a theme with pubs. Nothing to do with that, though, for networking.
Fantastic. I've got a new listener here, and they say it's the Right event, they're called. Right spelt with a W, as in the surname, W-R-I-G-H-T. The Right event,
as in the
Kent.
Wright Brothers.
Or the Wright Brothers. The Right event, Kent. We'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please, Vanilla Web. Our team-building events travel all over the UK, delivering outdoor activity events. TheRightEvent.co.uk. They say team building and corporate events, so do check them out. I think they're based in West Morning, I think. But anyway, check them out. TheRightEvents.co.uk.
Music Extravaganza, We Are Beams, an event for all the family. We will involve the local community to enjoy the Hextable Wind Band, who will be performing songs from the seasons with a Christmas finale. Mulled wine, hot chocolate, mince pies on offer. And this is held at St Peter's and St Paul's Church in Hextable on Friday the 14th of December, and that's at 7 p.m. in the evening till 9:30 as charity raffle auctions. All ages, all support, all to support disabled children with Beams, a local charity. And that's www.worldwideweb. And go to eventbrite.co.uk and look up Beams Christmas Music Extravaganza.
Cool. I had a couple of tweets from Brian Scott, from Scotty.
Yeah, yeah.
At Retro Workshops. He said, thanks for the shout out. We've had over 300 messages of support. So fantastic.
Wow.
And he's also said, you're cracking me up this end. You can choose our flooring, buddy.
No, I think the whole idea is no, because you get somebody else to do it.
So cool. Thank you for that, Brian. Do you know what? I want to speak to Julie now. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the show.
I've never been on.
Have you
the
not
show.
Been on?
Have well, you it's not? See, you've been on my show.
I've been on your show. That's the thing. That's what it was. I've been on Julie's show. She hasn't been on my show. So
not
she
been
has
on my
now.
Show. I've not been on yours. Who knew?
There's an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you may have gathered from that that Julie does a show on Channel Radio
yes.
on a Wednesday afternoon called Funny Ideas. It's certainly worth a listen. And you are on at
4 o'clock.
4 p.m.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
4 p.m.
right.
Yeah. So do tune into that, 4 p.m. on a Wednesday, Funny Ideas. But, Julie, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're not actually, well, I suppose you could be talking about your show, but you're really talking about what you do for a living.
Yeah, that's right. But they're kind of interrelated.
Yeah. Now, I was talking to someone earlier and they asked who the guests were and I said it was you. And then I confused myself and I went, she's from the Specialist Generalists. Or is she from the Generalist Specialist? or is she the General Special? And then I confused myself. It's the Specialist Generalist, isn't
it?
Yeah. So tell us about the Specialist Generalist.
Well, the reason why the Specialist Generalist is called that is because for years, I kind of almost beat myself up about the fact that I didn't really know what I was, what my job was.
Yeah.
And then actually I realised I'm a generalist. Mm. And actually, in today's economy, and increasingly so, it's going to be the sort of generalist skills, particularly the generalist skills that computers can't do or AI can't do, that's going to differentiate us as humans.
Absolutely.
And it's often, and particularly around things like collaboration, working in teams and creative problem solving. And so I like to work with humans in order to help them be the best that they possibly can. And that involves working primarily with leaders of organisations, teams within organisations, through a mixture of training, bespoke development and coaching, and sometimes more traditional management consultancy. So it's really helping people to develop skills and also to get to progress some of those knotty problems that we find in kind of the complex world that we live in.
It's interesting, isn't it? I've had this kind of debate with people. Some people are terrified of AI and automation and robotics and all the rest of it. But like anything, you can't uninvent technology. Once it's invented, and you are not going to stop it, even though a lot of politicians and a lot of governments and a lot of people try to stop it. And right at the moment, there's too much stuff going on about punishing the internet for doing things. It's just stupid, but there it is. But that's because people fear it. People fear change. They fear things that they don't understand. But the interesting thing for me is that it provides opportunities. Now, I'm really, really old. I'm really old.
And No,
thank you for that. So somebody got the cue.
No, yeah. We were just listening.
The interesting thing is, when I started working in computers in 1969, okay.
Did they have them then? Sorry, I've just spoiled it now.
No, they did. They had two. There were two computers in Kent, and I worked on one of them, yeah, at Kent County Council. And the other one was owned by Watmans, the paper mill in Maidstone. They were the only two computers in Kent. But the interesting thing is that if TV programmes like Tomorrow's World was really big there, where they were predicting that by 1980 we'd all have personal jetpacks and robots that clean, you know. But the thing was, nobody would work. By 1980, nobody would have a job. Everything would be done by technology. Da, 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 da. We then went through a whole period where industries collapsed. Yeah, shipbuilding, steel, coal mines. Everybody got really upset. You know, we're all going to die. Nobody's going to have a job anymore. The reality was, eventually, we lost 800,000 jobs in traditional industries and created 3 million new ones. Yeah. And that same pattern will continue no matter what, because it's just an evolutionary process. And where I'm getting to with you is that what I see now is exactly what you just described, which is the huge need for human interaction and for customer service and leadership and management and support at a human level.
I agree. These are the things that do and will differentiate people in the future.
Mm.
And actually, it's a great opportunity, as you say. And also, I think there's something about it is an opportunity to perhaps get rid of some of the more monotonous work.
Yeah,
although
exactly.
Still, I think that is a real problem in this country and others. And it is a natural evolution, a bit like Roddy was saying with the high street. You know, there will be naysayers, there will be moments of perceived crisis, but actually things change.
Mm.
And I'm seeing now that the main kind of skill that people need is around adaptability. It's around versatility. And one of the things that I really focus on in my practice is around developing versatile leaders. And it doesn't have to be a leader who's sitting in the CEO position. We can all be leaders. But actually thinking about what makes somebody adaptable and versatile. And to use a phrase from improv, and I also perform improvised comedy.
We're going to talk about that in a moment.
So that kind of yes and approach rather than yes but. Actually, how can we embrace what's going on and build on it and think about new ideas? And it can be quite a freeing situation when you can learn how to do that.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I've talked about acuity and the ability to look at what's going on around you and adapt your behaviour to it on a dynamic basis. And I don't know how you feel about this, so I'll put this to you, and you can respond in however you want. But when I look at it, as a carryover from the 20th century, we try to processify everything. We try to write books. So you have call centres full of people that have a book, and they go, well, computers say no, you know. They try to do things based on a 20th century concept of management by numbers. And I think that's the least effective way you can do things anymore. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, obviously you need a certain amount of process and codification, but that goes alongside any other elements of change, which includes human behaviour, fundamentally, and also people's values and beliefs, and whether or not they feel really engaged.
Yeah.
And again, the research on millennials shows that that's much more important to that group of people than perhaps it was to the generation before or before that. So I would completely agree that there's something around how human beings interact, and actually enabling those who are on the front line to make decisions. There's lots of evidence to say that those organizations that perform the best and have highest levels of customer satisfaction or whatever measures you use are the ones where they give some agency to people who are actually doing the work. So it isn't coming down by diktat, and it's a much more collaborative process. So I used
to be a management consultant, and one of the things I used to talk about was iceberg management. And iceberg management for me was that the leadership of a company probably knew 4% of what was going on. The executive management would know 9%. The supervisor would know 17%. And the frontline staff would know 100%. But they never talked to each other. Yep. And, of course, a lot of the mental health issues we face at work and a lot of the stress is because your frontline staff know what they need to do but are prevented from doing it. And they feel, you know, attacked every day because they feel stupid going, computer say no. For me, overcoming that and getting to the point where you feel comfortable in allowing your people some autonomy in dealing with customers is the key thing.
It is, and I think that's where this concept of versatile leadership comes in, because it's actually ensuring that leaders can create a climate where people feel they can fail.
Yep.
We talked about failure and taking risk, where people feel that experimentation is valued and that you're going to be, I suppose, at least recognised for coming up with new ideas. It's going to be, you know, so what? We care because we want to do things better. Okay, great. We'll build on your ideas and see what happens. And that's where some of the improv skills can be helpful. So I occasionally bring those sorts of techniques in, as well as, you know, management theory, the evidence base, practitioner approaches, but actually thinking about how we can get people to act and think in slightly different ways.
We were talking off air before we went on. Roderick had a story about a company that radically changed what they were doing. That change was led from the top, but even so, it was so radical that it kind of scared everybody. But in fact, that's what you need, isn't it? You know, especially in this day and age, is if you're not prepared to fail, if you're not prepared to experiment and change, you really aren't going to survive.
No, it's true. And actually, the nature of the change in the environment and often the kinds of conditions that people are working in. So often it's much more about collaboration between different organisations. There isn't as much formal control. You can't rely on the normal formal mechanisms. And so having some ways in which you can feel more comfortable operating in this environment will mean that you survive and can adapt. And it is purely an evolution. You won't solve problems, but you will progress them.
Yeah,
and you can operate more comfortably in that environment. And particularly when I work with central government and public sector clients, that's really important because often they're in a, you know, hugely complex environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many of the aspects of it are out with their control. So it's actually what can we do and what can we do well, often in quite a collaborative way.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I've just got a really strange message on that. Anyway, You're absolutely right. And the interesting thing is, when you look at this, we now live in a world that is highly disruptive. Disintermediation is key. But for me, that's always happened, but it was the timescales. Mm. It took a long, long time to overturn things before. Now it's almost within a space of months rather than years or decades. And dealing with that is really difficult because there is no comfort. You have to keep innovating, keep doing, and keep moving things on. From your point of view, when you're talking about these things, what level of acceptance do you get? If you see what I mean, how open are people to this kind of thing? Or do they go, yeah, you're absolutely right, but...
I think it is that. I think rationally, they get it.
Yeah.
Because, they read widely, they listen, they think we get it. But actually getting over that, the comfort of acting within the normal boundaries of your profession or the normal norms that you've grown up with in business is really difficult. If you have an annual planning cycle, and that's what you're used to, and a five-year strategy cycle, it's actually quite upsetting to think we're going to act in a very agile way. Every morning we're going to have a huddle, work out what we could do better today, try it, and then see whether it's worked tomorrow. That's shockingly sudden and shockingly immediate. And for many people, that's just out with their comfort zone.
Yep.
Or I was with some partners from a very large professional services company a couple of months ago, and I did some work from improv, kind of the idea of being an expert in something that's completely nonsensical to get them completely out of their comfort zone. So you're no longer, I won't say what the profession was, but you're no longer profession X that you've been comfortably for 40 years. I'm now going to ask you to be an expert on teaching mice to tap dance.
Yeah.
And you're going to think about...
I could do that.
Yeah,
I could
perfect,
do that.
Perfect. And you're going to use all of the resources that you've got to actually just explain to me confidently, thinking on your feet, how you would do this. And these can be techniques that you can use in all sorts of environments. And recently I've been doing some work around thinking on your feet and spontaneity, particularly actually for women, but I don't particularly work in a gendered way. So I think it's really exciting because there are techniques that can be used whether you are just an ordinary person going about your business, whatever role you might have, or whether you're CEO of a company to just help to be more adaptive.
We're fast running out of time. I'm sorry about that. But it's something I want to focus on as well, because as you made reference earlier, you do improv. Mm. Just for those people that don't really understand, just a quick overview of what improv is.
It is making things up on the spot, taking an audience suggestion, and usually I would be with a small team of people doing a piece for 20 or 30 minutes, which could be interesting scenes, quite theatrical, building on other people's suggestions.
Okay. So that requires you to think on your feet.
Yeah.
A huge amount. Mm-hmm. How do you... I kind of know the answer to this because you started to explore it anyway, but how do you use that in your consulting work? How do you find that useful in your consulting work, and what do you do to make it happen?
Sure. I find it particularly useful when working with teams, particularly around team dynamic, to help build trust, because that's crucial. If you're walking out on a stage and you don't know what you're going to say, you need to have trust in the others. So using some of those techniques and principles with teams to help build trust, collaboration, active listening, and then for the creative problem solving side, the concept of yes and, as well as some of the stagecraft side of things, particularly for building confidence for those who don't have much confidence in their own presence, if you like, again, can be helpful. So from an individual sort of coaching and development perspective up to a team, I think there are analogies, but I suppose I don't like to just use those techniques. I like to link them in with other problem solving frameworks or theory, just to give a richer experience, really. Because I think there can be a tendency to say, oh, we're going to have a team building, but actually, yes, to what end? Right. If we need to refresh our strategy, let's do a bit of both.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Julie, we could talk about this forever. Yeah. Sadly, we're right at the end of the show. If people want to find out more about what you do and how you do it, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. So you can look at the website, which is www.specialistgeneralist.co.uk, or you can find me on Twitter at Spec Generalist or at Julie Flower 4. And yeah, love to hear from you.
And also tune into Julie's show.
Or tune into Funny Ideas
on a Wednesday.
It's also available as a podcast too.
Yeah. Wednesdays at 4 o'clock here on channelradio.co.uk/2.
Yeah.
Or listen to the podcast or check out the website or do all of those things.
Yeah, and Funny Ideas is a learning and development focused podcast. So if you work in HR or are just interested in ideas, have a listen.
Fantastic. Julie, thank you so much for that. Sorry to kind of cut you short, but we have run out of time. 2 hours goes so quickly. But for the moment, Julie Flowers, specialist generalist, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Cool. We're kind of at the end of the show. I need to tell you about a few things that are happening. We have Bird, while we're doing plugs for everybody else's show. Who have you got on your show tomorrow, Bird?
I've got Will Polston.
Have you?
Yes, yeah, making it happen.
1 o'clock, the conversation here on Channel Radio. And then do join us at 11 o'clock on Friday for the Business Bunker Extra Show, our sister show, presented by the absolutely gorgeous Amanda Flanders. And her co-host this week is Mark Goldfinch. And her guest is Julie Daniel. From The Chic Stylist.
Yes.
So do tune in to the Business Bunker Extra Show, 11 o'clock on Friday. Do tune in to Bird, The Conversation on Wednesday, and Funny Ideas Wednesday at 1 o'clock and Funny Ideas at 4 o'clock on Wednesday, all on channelradio.co.uk/2. I'd like to say a big thank you to all of our guests today. Councillor Roderick Hogarth, Mayor of Sevenoaks, Adam Bissell of Traverse Flooring UK, Julie Flower, the Specialist Generalist, my stunningly fantastic co-host.
Every week. Every time.
The lovely...
It's been a good show, hasn't it?
It's been brilliant. Yeah, it's been brilliant.
Nice.
Got loads
nice
of
to have you back.
I've got dozens of tweets
I know,
that I haven't read. And people are still asking questions about floorboards, for goodness sake.
Who knew?
Fantastic. Yeah. To my site. Happy to help.
So do check it all out. It's all on there. You can listen again later. But for the moment, that's all from us on the Business Bunker Show for another week. We'll be back next week with another show. Have a fantastic week and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.